I'm just going to have a prayer for the microphone and for poor Kay, who is stressed in the back. Can you hear me okay? I'll try to project as much as I can. Let's pray. Father God, we're grateful for this space. We're grateful for Kay and Andrew and James on the phone. And just, Father God, even though the mic is acting out today or the speakers or whatever the issue is, we know that you can talk to us, Lord. And we know that throughout the glitches of it all, that if we really tune our hearts to listen, we can hear you speak to us. And so I just ask for your Holy Spirit to be with me, help me to use my loud projecting voice today, and may we be able to worship you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. So it's so good to see all your faces. And if you can't hear me in the back, if you just wave, I'll try to project more. It's been a while since I've had to, like, use my loud voice. I should have brought my son's karaoke machine. I thought about it this morning. I was going to use it for the children's program, but I didn't. That's all right. So the topic for today is, how does God communicate? And I actually have, in the end, a handout. I printed a few, but I have it on the website. So to save trees, later on, I'll have the link for you to go there. But the topic came to be because, if you remember last week, I talked about deep hope. I asked you the question, what is your deep hope? What is the one thing that you long for, right? Not the thing you wish for, not the thing that you want to see happen this week or next year, but the deep hope in your heart of what you want your life to be about. And I shared how for me, my deep hope is that... Testing. Okay. Now the question is, this is coming through the live stream. Do I have to speak through both microphones or does it matter? Okay, I'm just going to keep going and then let holler if you want me to do something different. Okay, thanks, Roy. So my deep hope is that we would be able to know God more deeply, more personally, and that we can make God known more clearly to others. Now, some of us, last Sunday, we did this street retreat. And she took us to this area near where we used to worship for 7 years. We used to worship in the CBD at 500 Collins Street. And she took us to Enterprise Park. And she told us a bit of history of that place. And then we read through a text together. And then we were basically given 2 hours to wander through the streets of Melbourne praying and seeing what God had for us through the passage and by paying attention. And it was actually a lovely day on Sunday. And, you know, we usually, like, go to the city to go to a concert or to go to a meeting or, you know, we go to places with a specific goal in mind. And so we're not usually paying attention to what's around us. But during this time, we were able to just kind of look around, notice the people, notice the buildings, notice the streets, and pray. So it was a wonderful time. And then we got back together, and then we were sharing with each other some of the things that spoke to us, how we saw God through the streets of Melbourne and through the passage. And it was interesting how all of us had different things that we saw. Even though we were looking at the exact same passage in Scripture and we're walking through the streets of Melbourne, each of us heard God differently. And so today I'm going to be sharing some ways, not comprehensive, but some ways that God communicates to us. And I guess my hope, my deep hope, once again, is that we'll be able to, through these different ways that God communicates, get to know God better and be able to make him know more clearly. And so some of the things that I'm going to be sharing today have been inspired by Rachel Turner, who spoke earlier this year on Parents of Her Faith. And she used this illustration I'm going to use now. So I'm going to get a volunteer. And just because, I'm going to pick on Brian. So Brian, come on up.
Sorry.
So, Brian, I'm going to go back a little bit. Mm-hmm. I'm going to throw this, and you're going to catch it. Mm-hmm. Okay? You ready? Mm-hmm. Well done. Thank you. You can stop. So, Rachel used this illustration that I just wanted to share, which is that when you catch, right, you don't just catch with your hands, right? Did you see how Brian, as he was getting ready, he was looking at the ball, looking at me, right, getting ready to catch. His body was ready. He was in that stance of, all right, he's gonna catch it. And then, of course, his hands went out. And so Rachel Turner was talking about how we can catch God with our whole body. And so she shared five kind of ways, and I've added five more. So we're going to go through 10. You ready? We're gonna go through it. I promise I'm not going to preach for hours. I promise we'll get through the 10 pretty quickly. So one of the first ways that God communicates to us is visibly, or as Rachel would say, we catch God with our eyes. We catch God with our eyes. Now, kids, if you're following along in your handouts for today, I think this is one of the questions. And so we catch God with our eyes. What are some of the visible ways that God communicates with us? So here's one, visions. Now, this is not a very common one, right? This was how God spoke to a lot of people in the past, and he still does in the present, but not as frequently. So, for example, in the book of Isaiah, there was a man named Isaiah who received this vision from God. It says that he saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. And then he goes on to describe this vision of God in heaven. Now, while most of us haven't received visions, perhaps you have, God does say in the Bible that he will pour out his spirit, that in the last days, men and women will see visions, will have dreams, and will prophesy. So I just want to put this out there as a possible way that God communicates to us. Here's another one, a fancy theological word, theophany, which is just a scholarly way of saying seeing God physically. For example, when God appears to a man named Moses and he's trying to call Moses to free a group of slaves, he appears to him in the form of a burning bush. So it's a physical thing that Moses could see, and it was this manifestation of God. Or once Moses led the Israelites out of slavery, as they were going through the desert, God appeared through a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire. So once again, these are physical ways that God showed himself to the people. Once again, pretty rare today, but you never know. Theophany. Angels. In the Bible, in history, God has communicated with people through angels. So for example, there was a young woman named Mary, and God sent an angel named Gabriel to her to announce that she was going to have Jesus, the Messiah. Or angels rescued the first Christians when they were imprisoned in Acts chapter 5, Acts chapter 12, multiple times where God sent angels to literally get them out of prison. Here's another one from history, John Gibson Payton. He was a Scottish missionary who was one of the first missionaries to go to modern-day Vanuatu. And when he arrived there, him and his family, or his wife at the time, they were complete pioneers in this new territory. And there were a lot of threats to their lives. They were regularly in danger. And one night, him and his wife were in the house, and there were a group of men who surrounded them, and they were going to burn them out and kill them. And John and his wife prayed all night long. Can you imagine how terrified they would have been? And in the morning, after their all-night prayer vigil, when they kind of peeked out to see what was happening, no one was there. And so they thanked God that they were safe, and, you know, time passed. And about a year later, the local, you know, chief, he actually became a Christian. And so then John was asking him, hey, a year ago when you and your men were going to kill us, why did you leave? Why didn't you burn us out? And the chief said, because of all the men. And John was like, what do you mean? And he said, there were hundreds of big, bright men with swords surrounding the house. And so we knew there was no way that we could, you know, win, and so we left. And that's when they realized, both the chief and John at that time, that there had been angels that saved them that day. This is just an aside, but eventually, after 53 years of ministry, John ended at the age of 78, moved to Melbourne to spend his last years here, and his cemetery is in Kew. And he's buried in the cemetery in Kew. And by the time he had left Vanuatu, 25 of the 30 islands had Christian missionary stations and churches, and today 90% of people in Vanuatu are Christians. So just that's a random aside, just to tell you the power of not just angels, but of faithfulness of this person and his family being faithful to God. Back to our topic for today. So how does God speak to us? So under the visible, you know, we might not get visions, we might not have God in physical form, we might not all get angels, but we all have the written word of God. And this is probably the primary way that we can hear from God, is through the 66 books in the Bible that tell us so much about who God is. And 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17 tells us that all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Last night, the boys and I, we were doing some Bible journaling, and Joshie was reading through Matthew, and he was like, why are there so many, this person's the father of this person, is the father of this person, you know? And I was like, yeah, genealogies, it might sound boring, but there's something really special about Matthew chapter 1, and I was showing him. And so this promise is that all scripture, right, can speak to us about God and his character and his plan of salvation. And so if we want to hear God, there's a very simple way, which is to read our Bible, right? To open it up and ask God to speak to us through that. Of course, for the first century people living in Israel, they got to see Jesus physically. And so that's a privilege that we don't have, but once again, we have the Word of God. Oh, what happened to my slides? Oh, sorry, missing a slide. We have the Word of God where it says in John 1, verse 14, that the Word became flesh, right? Made his dwelling among us. And yes, we didn't get to see it physically with our eyes, but we have the stories in the Bible to show us what Jesus was like, to tell us the stories of Jesus, so that looking at Jesus, we can see how God wants us to live. All right. Another thing we can see, Amelia was sharing with us how she saw the beautiful autumn colors, right? The beauty of creation. And so, when we go out in nature, that is a really big way that God can communicate to us about his majesty, about his power, about his grace. And so, take a moment, if you can, to just go out. I was reading this week that, we're all looking at our screens so much for work, etc. But the amount of strain that puts not only on our eyes, but also on our minds, research is finding more and more that the less you get off the screen and more you look at green, blue, like colors of nature, not only does it help your eyesight, but it brings the hormones that help you be calm, right, that help you experience wholeness. And so, and they're also finding, I just read an article yesterday that said 2 hours of silence helps you regenerate your brain cells. But, you know, how many times are we silent? We're listening to stuff, we're watching stuff, right? We're constantly overstimulated. Imagine if we're able to just go out in nature and go for a walk. All right, here we go. So visibly is one way God communicates, but he also communicates audibly. Now, there we go. There was a time when a little boy named Samuel, around 1000 BC, and he's working in the sanctuary, and the high priest is Eli, and he's sleeping. And while he's sleeping, and I like how it says in verse 1, in those days, the word of the Lord was rare. Okay? The word of the Lord was rare. And God calls out, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel thinks that it's Eli calling him, so he runs over to Eli, and Eli's like, I didn't call you, go back to bed. But it happens two more times that he hears someone say, Samuel, Samuel. And each time goes back to Eli, and finally Eli realizes, he realizes this is God calling him. And so he instructs a mentor, Samuel, to say, go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. And so that's what happens. Samuel answers God, and then he begins his career at a young age of being a messenger for God. Does God still speak audibly today? He does. Pastor Sarah Jane Riley, who lives in New Zealand, earlier this year, she was sharing her testimony at the Called Conference, and she shared about how she audibly heard God's voice telling her to go into pastoral ministry. And she argued with him, and he argued back. And eventually she gave in, and she is pastoring in New Zealand. Here's a way that most of us can relate to is music, right? God speaks to us through music. The power of music is so incredible and can help us know God and to understand what his will for us is. And of course, there's messages, not just sermons, but podcasts and people speaking to you, right? There's so many ways the spoken word can bring about God's message to you. All right, so we've got visible, we've got audible, and then there's how God speaks to us through our mind. We can catch God with our mind. How do we do this? Sometimes God gives dreams. In the Bible, God gave dreams to a man named Joseph, to a man named Daniel, to many people that you can read about. A few years ago, there was a young Muslim lady who came to our church. And she came because she had this recurring dream where she was given this, in her dream, this picture of a dove and a cross. And in the dream, she was told, go find the people who can explain what these symbols mean to you. And she had this dream over and over and over again, and then she became a Christian. And so God still speaks through dreams. He also speaks to us through our thoughts. Sometimes he brings a thought to our mind, or a picture, or a person to our mind. And, you know, it's easy to dismiss that as just a coincidence or just, you know, a random thought. But what if we actually leaned into that to say, is God saying something to us? When I used to live in Michigan, you know, it's cold here, but Michigan is like next level cold. And we would regularly have blizzards. And one day I had just dropped someone off at the airport, and I was driving back, and a huge blizzard came through. And so I'm driving, and I can't see very well because there's like snow and ice just, you know, pelleting from all directions. So I'm going really slowly, but one of the most dangerous things about driving in these conditions is that there's what's called black ice. So you can't see that there's ice on the road, and it's very slippery. So I'm driving, and I hit a patch of black ice, and the car spins. Now, fortunately, I didn't hit anyone else. I didn't hit the divider. Instead, my car spun off and fell off the road kind of sideways into the bank. And there was like a ton of snow, so thankfully, I wasn't injured when the car fell off. It was kind of just in the snow. So and the engine just cut off. And I was like, oh, I'm okay. Like, you know, adrenaline. And I'm just kind of like composing myself. Like, okay, I'm okay, I'm okay. And I just had this thought. It wasn't really a voice, but it was more like this thought. Get out of the car. And, you know, it's freezing outside. I'm safe inside. And so why would I go outside? But it just kept coming back. Get out of the car. Get out of the car. So even though it didn't make any sense and I felt really silly, I got out of the car. So now I'm standing in the blizzard, right? And I'm kind of wondering, how long should I stay out here? And in that moment, another car spun out and was headed straight towards me. So then, it's like slow motion, right? So then, and the woman, you could see the woman driving the car had like terror in her eyes because she can't stop the spinning. So I just start running. I am running, and as the car hits my car, there's glass and metal flying all around me as I am running like in the snow. And eventually later when Roy came, at the time was my boyfriend, came to pick me up, and he saw the boot prints like in the snow of me running away from the scene. My car was totaled. And yeah, fortunately the other lady was very shocked, but she was okay because she was in a much bigger car. But yeah, sometimes God gives us thoughts, you know? And it might just be an impression like, huh, someone, I've had instances where someone's come to my mind and someone I haven't seen or talked to in a long time, and I'll just message them, hey, just thinking of you, how are you going? And the person in this particular instance was having a panic attack. And when I reached out, she told me I'm having a panic attack, and I was able to pray with her and she was able to calm down. So yeah, God impresses us through our mind. But he also impresses us through our emotions. And what I mean by this is the feelings that we have, right? God, we are a whole person. God created us to be a whole physical, emotional, mental person, spiritual person. And God speaks to us through our emotions. For example, if seeing something unjust makes you really upset, right? That's God saying, yeah, this is not right. Maybe we should be doing something about that injustice. Or perhaps you see some suffering and it makes you really sad. God is giving us that compassion to once again reach out and help that individual. Or perhaps you're feeling, you know, because of your own circumstances, right? Don't bury and ignore those feelings. God speaks to us through our emotions. I mean, you read through the book of Psalms and Micah was journaling. Oh no, Joshua was journaling through the book of Psalms yesterday. Oh no, Micah and Joshua. And Micah was like, he's like talking about how sad he is and then he's praising God. And I'm like, yeah, because as you are expressing your grief to God, God uses that grief to give you that sense of comfort. And then you praise God. It's this crazy emotional journey where at the end of that journey, you know that God has been with you and that God is speaking with you. All right, so you can catch God with your eyes, with your ears, with your mind, with your emotions, but also what Rachel Turner calls your gut. Okay, because she talks to children. So she says, you can catch God with your gut, where you just know. You just know something. And I would say to you adults, it's your conviction, right? It's God speaking through your conscience. In Romans chapter 2, when Paul is speaking to the believers in Rome, he says, indeed, when Gentiles, in other words, people who don't believe in God, who do not have the law, that is the Bible, the Old Testament, the written stories of how God interacts, he's saying, non-believers do by nature things required by the law. They are a law for themselves, even though they don't have the law. They show that the requirements of the law are written on their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts sometimes accusing them and at other times even defending them. And so in other words, God has given all of us a conscience. And so you just feel in your gut, right, that you shouldn't do something. Children have this because when they sneak something, they have that guilty look on their face. No one taught them to feel that. They feel it because God has given them this internal compass of a conscience that's making them sneak because they know they're doing something wrong. And so there are times when you may be about to do something that isn't right. And something in your gut, right? Something internally is telling you, hey, stop. This isn't the right path. And so God communicates through your gut. Rachel would say that you can also catch God through your skin. In other words, you can tangibly feel God's presence. I have felt God once in my life. When I was applying for this role of this church. So my original plan was not pastoral ministry. And I had done my undergraduate BA in French literature. And there was a church in New York City that was looking for someone to come and do ministry for them in Manhattan. And I just felt, once again, that impression, that weird desire to apply. So I did, and they asked me to come preach. You know, they had a few people, candidates, and I was one of them. So I went to preach, and when I preached that sermon in that church, in this beautiful church in the Upper East Side with stained glass windows, I physically felt, as I was preaching, the Holy Spirit in the room. And luckily for me, I wasn't the only one who felt it, because after I preached, the senior pastor went up with tears in his eyes and he said, "Did you all feel that? We all felt God's presence right now." And he said, "Jinha, we're going to hire you." Like on the spot, he didn't even interview me. And, you know, that was, it was one of the only time in my life where I physically felt, right? It wasn't just an impression inside. I wasn't the only one. We all felt God's presence in the church. A friend of mine in France, he was telling me about how he prayed for his father for 30 years. His father was an atheist, and his father just refused to entertain the idea of God. And Albert prayed for him and prayed for him, and one day his father came to him and said, "The other day I was worried about how I'm going to die soon," because he was an old man. And he said, "I was feeling really down and discouraged and thinking about my death. And I felt someone put their hand on my shoulder." So he turned around, but there was no one there. And he was like, "That's odd." And turned around, and again he felt a hand on his shoulder. Turned around, no one there. And he asked Albert, "Could that be God?" And Albert said, "Yeah." And then Albert prayed, "The God who put your hand on my father's shoulder, will you help him to give his life to you?" And the father prayed. And a few weeks later, he passed away. But Albert told me this story and was just so grateful that God had given his dad this physical sign of his existence. My slides are all messed up. Okay, so tangibly... And then, oh no, that's correct, communally. Another way that God speaks to us is through community. God communicates so much through worship, right? This communal experience, when we go into discussion time, when we are praying together during the week, when we are eating together, there's an encouraging each other, right? All throughout, all through these various ways. And community doesn't have to be, you know, be this large group gathering. Matthew 18, verse 19 and 20, Jesus says, "Again, I truly tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I with them." And so community is just two or three people who are able to seek God together. And the number of times in my life where God has spoken to me through my prayer time with a few people or during worship, God speaks communally to us. All right, we're almost there. God speaks through circumstances, through situations. Because if you just pause and think about your life, both the opportunities you've had as well as the challenges that you have had, right? You're able to see the patterns emerging of how God is actually guiding you. There's a man named Joseph in the Bible who was sold by his brothers into slavery and suffered for a long time. And at the end of his suffering, when he meets his brothers again, after like 17 years, he says to them, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." Joseph was able to recontextualize his life to not just say, "Ugh, this happened, and then this awful thing happened, and then this awful thing happened." instead, he was able to look through all of that as well as the opportunities and say, you know what? God used all of that. I can see how God actually brought me to where I am to give me the role that I have. When Roy and I were deciding whether or not to stay in Australia or move back to the U.S., this is, you know, 13 years ago, because we were facing some challenges. And then, you know, we prayed, you know, we were trying to start this church called, you know, this new church plant, and we didn't have a venue, and we prayed, God, give us a free venue, which is a ridiculous prayer request, right? And in that very week, we prayed that prayer when an Adventist businessman said to Roy, hey, you guys looking for a place to worship? I have an IT company. We don't use it on the weekends. Do you want to use it? And in that moment, we knew, okay, God wants us to start a church here, right? Because that week, we were going through a really tough time. There were all the personal stuff happening, and we were wondering, was it a mistake to come here? Does God not want us to start this church? Are we the wrong people? Is this the wrong time? So we're really wondering that. And when that happened, when we got that venue, we knew, right, that that was God communicating to us saying, go for it. And here we are many years later. And so God speaks through our circumstances. You can say it was a coincidence. You can say, you know, all these factors contributed to it. But when you look, just pause and look through how many coincidences really are possible. God also speaks through symbols. In the Old Testament, the entire sanctuary system with all the furniture and all the rituals, every single one of those things were communicating something about God's plan of salvation. And in the New Testament, when Jesus came along, he also used a lot of symbols. He said, I'm the light of the world. He said, you are the light of the world. He talked about how he is the living water and how we, if we spend time with him, can also become fountains of living water. And he gave us the bread and said, eat this. And he took the cup, poured out symbolic of his blood, and he said, do this in remembrance of me. And that's why next week when we have communion service, we're going to take the bread and we're going to take the cup. And we do this ritual with these symbols because they help us to hear God's story. They help us to know what God wants from us today. And so these symbols are there to be vehicles through which God can speak to us. All right, last one. God speaks through silence. Sometimes when we feel like God is silent, we either get really frustrated, like, God, why aren't you talking? Or we might feel really discouraged, like, I did something wrong and God's speaking to me, like, as if he's giving you a silent treatment, you know? Either way, we don't see the silence as a blessing. But I want to challenge that thought. Because sometimes the silence of God is very intentional. I remember Roy once preached a sermon where he said, sometimes the silence of God is so that we step in closer, so that we come closer to God so we can hear what he has to say. Right? The silence of God draws us into a deeper relationship so that when he whispers, there's intimacy. Right? There's a deeper connection with God because we're actually leaning in. We're paying attention. We are prioritizing listening to him instead of just expecting him to listen to, you know, talk to us all the time. Because it's so easy to go through life and think, well, there's so many ways God talks to us. God, I'm going to live my life and you talk to me. We stop pursuing our own things and actually realize, oh, I haven't heard. And sometimes in the silence of God, he's preparing us for something greater. When I think about Abraham and how God told Abraham he was going to be the father of a great nation. Years went by before he was able to have that child. And in those years of silence, did Abraham feel abandoned by God? Or was God actually preparing Abraham to be the father of a great nation, to be someone whose faith would be able to withstand all the tests that he would face. And so I want to challenge you that if you're not hearing God, to see that as an invitation from God to learn how to wait, to trust, to grow, to step deeper into what God has planned for you. To see it as an invitation from God for a fuller revelation of himself. So, as we reflected today on some of the ways that God communicates with us, I wonder what God might be saying to you right now. Maybe you're longing to hear from him. Maybe you're in one of those seasons where God seems silent. Or perhaps God has been speaking to you very clearly, but you are not ready to obey. I want to invite you to a very simple prayer, which is also a song. And it says, "Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you." Because I guarantee that if we truly desire to hear from God, God will speak to us. And once God speaks, it is my prayer that we, like Samuel, can say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." And to be able to, in faith, step out and go into that deeper connection with God. Because we serve a God who wants to be known and who knows us and wants us to build that relationship with him and to share his character with the world so that others too can see how great he is. So will you join me as the praise team leads us in closing song for today? This prayer, "Open the Eyes of My Heart." Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that you would open the eyes of our heart so that not only will we catch the different ways you communicate to us, but that we would actually obey and follow you wherever you bid us. And Father, it is our prayer that as a result of knowing you, we would make that decision to be your disciples, to live our lives with our own understanding of our role in your story. And so, Father, as we continue our discussion, continue to speak to us. And for each of us, in whatever situation we find ourselves, whatever week we're about to face, help us to hear you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.